Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Great. To God be the glory. Yeah. Amen. Be seated. Good morning to you and good morning to everyone in all those other locations. Good morning. It is great to be here. It really, really is. What an incredible conference that we had with Every Woman. Honestly, I loved it. I loved it. And I feel like full as an egg. Just two incredible days. One of the great things about speaking at a conference is that you get to listen to everybody else, because obviously I've heard myself speak. I know what I'm going to say. And but just to sit and soak it all in, I honestly had a faith lift. And I'm sure the 2,000 women that attended also had a faith lift as well. It was amazing. Somebody put a message on my Instagram this morning, a lady called Fiona198, and she said, well, I thought I'd mention her in case she's here. Hello, Fiona. Thank you for sending me this message. And here was the message. I asked my class, year R, I assume that's reception, why we celebrated bonfire night. One little girl said, God might get sad sometimes and we send up the fireworks in order to cheer him up. Isn't that the best? That is just beautiful. And last night, Killy and I had this incredible experience because we were kind of getting ready for bed because we've struggled with it a little bit with jet lag, and we thought, right, let's get a good night's sleep before a busy Sunday. And then we started to hear some noise. So we opened the curtains and there were fireworks, and we were above the fireworks. And we looked down at this incredible display. And there was something very, very inspiring about looking down over them. And I'm going to mention that later. There's a school, a small school, infant school, and the highlight of the school every year was the annual Christmas production. And there was one little boy who was desperate to play the part of Joseph. The day arrived when the teacher announced all the starring roles, and this boy was not chosen to play Joseph. And he was very, very upset. Now, he did get the part of the innkeeper, but he didn't want to be the innkeeper. I mean, let's get this out there. He wanted to be Joseph, not the innkeeper. Anyway, the great day arrived when the school presented the annual Christmas production to the entire school, all the families and all the friends. Then you get to that moment where Mary and Joseph visit the innkeeper's door, knock on the door. Door opens, innkeeper comes out. Joseph says, can my wife, Mary, and I, can we come in for the evening? And the innkeeper said, she can come in, but you can't. I wanted to be Joseph. You know, there are many, many different versions of Christmas. There are many, many different versions of Christianity. There are so many different versions. That is why it is so important to always go back to the original script. Go back to the original script and find out what did the original script actually say. Now, to be a Christian, being a Christian It involves a number of things. I've been a Christian since 1975, so I can look back now and I can say to you from experience that it involves a number of different things. And in my Christian experience, I think it involves five things, and I'm going to highlight those five things. The first thing is this. Look up. Look up. There's a book in the Bible called the Psalms, and the writer of one of the Psalms says, I look up to the mountains. From where does my help come from? Now, you know, is there anyone here who doesn't need a bit of help? Huh? Come on, doesn't need a little bit of help? Yeah, of course we need a little bit of help. If we don't need a little bit of help, you know, what's wrong with you? We all need it. And the first principle of Christianity is look up, look up, look up, look up. From where does my help come from? God, God. And as I begin to look up, I just begin to kind of tune in to God. Now, of course, God, G-O-D, you know, what does that mean? And again, there's a lot of confusion about that word. When the first Russian astronaut returned from space, first interview, first question, did you see God? He said, no, I did not. And the Soviet Union heralded this as proof that God did not exist. And when the first American astronaut returned from space, first interview, fourth question, did you see God? He said, I would have seen God had I stepped out of my spacesuit. You see, different people have different understandings of the word God. The first and most important thing is this, that we have to come humbly to God. You know, there are too many people today who think that Christians don't think. And they think that we don't think because we don't think like they think. They think we don't think at all. But we do. We do. There was one student who came up to me after one meeting I spoke at, and he said, I can't believe in anything I don't understand. I said, what are you studying? He said, I'm studying agriculture. I said, well, tell me this. How is it possible for a black cow to eat green grass and produce white milk? You know, there's a lot of things that we don't understand. So the first principle of Christianity is this. Don't come shaking your fist at God and saying to God, you first satisfy my questions before I'll believe in you. Please don't come in that attitude. If you do, you're an idiot. Trust me, you're an idiot. If you come with that attitude, yeah? You know, we are talking about the God of the entire cosmos, the God of the entire universe. It's you, when you approach this God, you look up and you come humbly. Humbly, and you say, God, I'm looking up. I'm looking up. You know, there are so many of us are very confused in life, and many of us suffer from the Columbus syndrome. Columbus set off and he didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. When he got back, he didn't know where he'd been. Now, come on, let's be honest. Half the time, we don't know where we're going, where are we, where are we, haven't got a clue. What do we need in life? We need in life, we need insight. We need foresight. We need oversight. That's what we need. We need insight. You know, it's a bit like a microscope. You've got to look through a microscope to have some insight, but we need some foresight. That's like looking through a telescope, but then we need some oversight. That's like looking, viewing your house where you live from a helicopter. Okay, we need insight. We need foresight. We need oversight. Who's going to give us that? So there was us looking out of our hotel window floor 31, and we were above the fireworks. I have never had the experience of seeing fireworks from above. I had that oversight view. Wow! And something triggered in my mind. My word, that's how God views everything. That's how God views everything. Oh, my word. I hadn't, like, seen it in that sort of a way. So the first thing is, in order for us to have insight, in order for us to have foresight, in order for us to have oversight, we have to have God's sight. We've got to have God's sight. We've got to be able to see the way that God sees. So when I say look up to God, you're saying, God, can you let me see you? And could you help me to see the way that you see? Now, that's the starting point for anything in life, in Christianity. That's the first step. It's to look up. Look up. The second thing is to look back. Look back. There was a preacher in the Bible called John the Baptist, and he saw Jesus, and he said this, look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's how he described Jesus. You see, look up, this God. I mean, if I came near to God, this God, I would burn. It's not that I just have to take my shoes off. I wouldn't be able to handle being in his presence. This God who we can't quite work out, the invisible God becomes visible in Jesus. The intangible God becomes tangible in Jesus. The unknowable God becomes knowable in Jesus. In Jesus. So he reveals himself. This is God on earth. So now John the Baptist says, look, look, look. Jesus is the one. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So what we do is we look up and now we look back. There's a store in London. It's very prestigious. It's called Fortnum & Mason. It's in a place called Piccadilly in London. And if you've ever seen it, or there's a sign outside that people miss. And the sign says, established in 1707 and has been trading ever since. And it has the royal seal, and that's where the Queen does her shopping. So it's got a bit of gravitas, isn't it? The Queen shops here. Whoa. It's been trading since 1707. Now, doesn't that have a bit of gravitas? You kind of think, oh, been trading, eh? You know how sometimes you'll see a van go by, a little white van go by, and I don't know, it could be plumbing. And it said, been trading since 2006. And you think, big deal. What do you know about plumbing? What do you mean since 2000? You haven't got a clue. I wouldn't even get you to unblock my bog. You wouldn't know. What kind of an experience have you got trading since 2006? You do not know nothing. I want to see plumbing trading since 1901. Jesus Christ trading for 2,000 years. He's been trading with human beings. By the way, he was before then, because he was in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and everything was created through Jesus. Oh, so he was right there in the beginning. But anyhow, that's another little, you know. He's been trading. He's been trading for 2,000 years, and there are billions of satisfied customers. Yeah? Yeah? You want to go and read some reviews? Go and read the reviews. If you've got any time, you know, take off a whole year. You can read some reviews of all the millions and millions and millions of people that traded with Jesus and are satisfied customers. Now, we look up. We look in. We look up, we look back. Thirdly, we look in. Why do we look in? Because the Bible says we need to examine ourselves. Jesus was so funny. Honestly, many times he was funny. A lot of people don't see how funny he was because they don't understand Hebrew humor. Hebrew humor is humor by exaggeration. So he says, before you take the speck, yeah, out of your brother's eye, take out the telegraph pole out of your eye. I mean, you can imagine the disciples going, oh, Lord, that's a really good one, isn't it? You know, before you try and point out there's something wrong in somebody else's little eye, take out this massive pole out of your own eye. So Jesus says, examine yourself. And many times throughout the New Testament, we read the word about examining. So what we need to do is to look inside. Now, in the hotel where we are, the bathroom's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. It's just like amazing. But it's got one of these extra mirrors, the big round one. And so I'm looking at the mirror and I'm fine. I'm brushing my hair and doing it. I thought, oh, I'll just look at the little mirror. I'm like, Killy, I've got blackheads. I said, get them out. And she's like, I can't see them. I said, they're all over me. You see, you look at the mirror, you can't see anything. You look at this other mirror. It's like in the last 2 seconds, this massive blackhead has come on. You see, half the time we're walking around and we're thinking we're all right. Half the time we're walking around, we're looking into ordinary mirrors, but we can't see the little blackhead. Then you look at another mirror and you think, oh my word. Yeah, you look in the normal mirror, you think you've got a little zit, and then you look at the big mirror, oh my word, it's like Mount Everest. Do you know if you and I looked into God's mirror, oh my word, it would not be good. It would not be good. When we look into God's mirror and we allow God to look into our hearts, what does he find? He finds all sorts of things. You know, Jesus made 8 statements. They're known as the Beatitudes. And they go like this. Blessed, blessed, blessed. And it's all about being happy. Are those people happy? Are those people who do this happy? Are those people who do that? And there's one that says this. The pure in heart will see God. The Greek for the word pure, katharos, literally means no mixed motives. Who are the people that are going to see God? The people that are going to see God are the people who've got no mixed motives. Do you meet many people who have absolutely no mixed motives? In the world in which we live, there's always an agenda. There's always something else. What's behind that? Listen, our motives are not good. Our attitudes are not good. Our attitudes lead into actions that are not good. We have thought, said, and done things that we should not have done. And what we don't realize is that as we examine ourselves and as we allow God to examine us and we read the report, there are consequences. And the consequences is that we somehow block any access to God. So we look up to God, who's got insight, foresight, oversight. We look back to Jesus. Jesus, are you the Lamb of God? We look inside. Oh, my word, I'm filthy. I'm filthy. And then we look around. We look around. Why do we look around? We look around for several reasons. One, we look around in order to see, first of all, how we're dealing with other people. Are there relationships that I have caused harm and conflict in? Are there situations that I have inflicted in other people's lives and caused them hurt and stress and pain? And so I'm looking around to say, hey, am I responsible for some of this crap? Do you use that word in Australia? Yeah, it's the same as in England, yeah. Am I responsible for some of this stuff? Because if I'm responsible for some of these injustices, then I have a responsibility. And not only that, I look around and I, wow, there's need here. There's need. And I can respond to the need because I've got the resources to respond to this particular need, to this particular people group. I've got the opportunity to help this person and that person because the Bible says true religion is to look after widows and orphans. It's all about caring for other people. It's all about caring for the broken. It's all about caring for those that no one cares for. And so I'm doing it for two reasons. One, to take responsibility for when I haven't cared, and one, to care for those that I can. So I'm looking up. Okay, God, help me to see. I'm looking back at the Lamb of God. I'm looking inside to examine myself. I'm looking around, and now I'm looking ahead. Why am I looking ahead? I'm looking ahead because Jesus, the Lamb of God, is coming back. Yeah. He is coming back. I was debating at Cambridge University with an atheist professor. He was a very, very influential professor. Called Professor Don Cupid, and he was really influential atheist, and we were debating, and he was talking nonsense. Just nonsense. And then when I spoke, he just laughed at me. And then he spoke, and then I responded, and then while he was speaking, I said, Lord, please. I know it probably isn't the right time for the second coming, but please, please, Lord, could you just walk on the stage? I just want to see if he wets himself. Go on, Lord, just do it. Just do it because you like me. I just, you know. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, it will be too late. When he comes back, it will be too late to say, I want to look up. When he comes back, it's going to be too late to say, I'm going to look back. When he comes back, it's going to be too late for you to say, I'm going to look and examine myself. When he comes back, it's going to be too late to say, I'll look around and see if I can help someone. It's going to be too late. Because when he comes back, he will come back to welcome all of his children into heaven. He's going to create a new heaven, a new earth. Hey, I'm going to be part of that. Many of us, we're all going to be part of that, and it's going to be an incredible thing. Listen, this Jesus, the Lamb of God, he died upon the cross. He died upon the cross because by dying on the cross, it was as if he was cashing a check signed with his own blood to say, here's the check to clear your overdraft of all the wrong that you've ever done. Ever done. So when Jesus comes back, he's going to look at me and he goes, John, my boy, come. I'll be running. I'm coming, Jesus, because I've been doing that since 1975. You know, the Bible says that a good life, the length of a good life is 70 years and 10. Now, 70 years and 10 is 70 years. Let's allocate 10 years per day of the week. Yeah, 10 years for Monday, 10 years for Tuesday, 10 years for Wednesday. Okay, let's journey through my life. I've already gone through Monday. I've gone through Tuesday. I've gone through Wednesday. I've gone through Thursday. I've gone through Friday. I've gone through Saturday morning. I've gone through Saturday afternoon. I've gone through Saturday night, and I'm actually Sunday morning. How's your weekend looking? Now, we all know people, don't we, who are older than that, parents and grandparents. Some of us have been given an extra bank holiday Monday. Some of us have been given an extra bank holiday Tuesday. Do you know something? Not many people are given an extra Wednesday. But even if you're given an extra Wednesday, do you realize if you were given 100 years on this earth, that is a blip on the eternal screen? It's just the blip. We look up to the God, the creator of the universe. We look back to Jesus, who's the one that can heal us and save us and cleanse us. We look in. We do a truthful examination and we give it all to Jesus. We then get connected and in tune with Jesus, and we get empowered by his presence, and we start looking around and responding to the needs that we find with this incredible look forward. He's coming back. Essentially, that is something of the Christian faith, the Christian journey. Have you begun that journey? If you haven't begun it, begin it today. Honestly, come with all your questions. Do you know, when I became a Christian and I looked up, I had so many questions. But then when I met him, I got the answers. Many people say they need the answers before they'll meet him. You'll crack your head open. Let God get into your head and then you'll understand a lot of things. Let him get in.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.